Hello, I'm Martin, and this is my show. Each week, we take a deep dive into one artist, one story, 1 hour. We crack open the tracks, peel back the history, what was happening in the studio, on the streets, in the headlines. It's not just music, it's a movement. Each episode becomes a music brick, a solid piece of sound and story, stacked into a music wall of riffs, revolutions, record sleeves, and raw truth. This is more than nostalgia, it's a blueprint. And this is Music Brick.
You're tuned in to Music Brick. Built from the bones of the backbeat. Raw, real, relentless.
Tonight, we're diving headfirst into the synthetic shadows of Sheffield, where eyeliner met circuitry and Cold War anxiety got twisted into pop hooks and bleeps. This is the story of the Human League. Two synths obsessives, Martin Ware and Ian Craig Marsh, wanted to build pop that sounded like the future. They took the name The Human League, a sci-fi strategy game called Star Force, Alpha Centauri. By 1979, they were sharing the stages with Suchi and the Banshees and backing up Iggy Pop's wild shows. But beneath the surface, the band were moving in different directions. Martin Ware chased avant-garde art, experimental and uncompromising. Phil Oakey, the enigmatic frontman, had his eyes set firmly on chart success. Tonight we deep dive into the Human League. They gave us artificial heartbeats, plastic dreams, and songs that made machines cry.
Playing the best songs on the planet.
Costa Calida International Radio. The best radio station on the Med.
Human League were in love with Kraftwerk, and for their first single they hit us with Being Boiled, a minimal slab of synthetic dread. The song opens up with a deep, eerie synth pulse, setting a mechanical heartbeat that feels more like a warning siren than music. Listen to the voice of Buddha, it chants, but beneath that cryptic line lies a sharp protest. Martin Ware later revealed it was inspired by the horror of silk farming. Worms boiled alive to harvest silk threads for fashion. A disturbing visceral image embedded in Cold Electronics. Released in 1978 on Fast Product, a tiny indie label also famous for launching The Gang of Four, it stood apart from everything else in the charts. Stark, uncompromising and unyielding. The BBC banned it, afraid of unsettling mood it created. But John Peel, the king of alternative, championed it fiercely, playing it on his show and praising its eerie originality. Being Boiled wasn't just a song, it was a manifesto, where machines and humans would collide in sound.
Okay, ready, let's do it.
Thank you.
Next up, the sound of the crowd. Late into 1980, the Human League had completely changed shape. Martin Ware and Craig Marsh walked out, and Oakey did something unexpected. He recruited two teenage girls from a Sheffield nightclub. Joanne Catterall and Susan Ann Sully were spotted dancing at the Crazy Daisy. Oakey asked if they wanted to join the band, and they said yes. With barely any rehearsal, they were flown up to Europe mid-tour. This new Human League was part band, part Frankenstein. Oakey brought in producer Martin Rushent and keyboardist Ian Burden. Then Joe Callis from the Residuals joined, and now they were building something big. And this was the first real strike, the sound of the crowd. Released in April 1981, it's a strange, twisting track with lyrics like coded instructions. Make a shroud pulling combs through a backwash frame. Oakey admitted the lyrics were cut-ups, fragments meant to feel like slogans, but it worked. The song cracked the UK top 20, the band hit Top of the Pops in angular jackets and dyed hair. They were cold, glamorous and unknowable. When the Specials were singing Ghost Town, the Human League were weird, wired and ready to reprogram the charts. By the summer of 1981, the Human League had built a momentum that felt unstoppable. They weren't just sci-fi oddballs anymore, they were contenders, and Love Action proved it. Released in July 1981, this track was personal. Oki wrote it about a breakup. He said, "I was writing about how I was trying to understand what love actually meant, but instead of heartache balladry, he gave us this. Clip beats, rubbery synths, dry confession." At one point, Oki sings, "This is Phil talking. I want to tell you what I've found to be true. It's tongue-in-cheek, but also honest. A kind of ironic sermon." Martin Rushen's production was key. He stripped it back. No cymbals, just punchy electronics and deadpan delivery. The backing vocals, including Sully and Catterall, made it feel conversational, like a monologue from the mirror. It soared to number 3 in the UK charts. They were now shoulder to shoulder with Soft Cell, Ultravox and early Duran Duran. On telly, Not the 9 o'clock News mocked their cold style, but secretly everyone was copying it. This wasn't synth pop, it was a movement. It was meant to be a filler, a throwaway track buried at the end of the album. But Don't You Want Me became the Human League's biggest moment, a defining song of the entire decade. Phil Oki didn't want it released as a single. He was talked into it, reluctantly. The band's label, Virgin, had a feeling, and they were right. Released in November 1981, this male-female duet played out like a soap opera. Phil Oki's lines are cold, controlling. Sully's replies, detached, defiant. It mirrored real life. They weren't a couple, but the power dynamics, the fame, the tabloid spin, it was all there. The video sealed it. Styled like a noir thriller, all neon shadows and film cameras. MTV had just launched in the US. This landed at the perfect time. It went straight to number one, stayed there for 5 weeks, ended up the best-selling single of 1981 in the UK, outselling everything. Phil Oakey later said, "I realised pop was about tricking people into listening to something darker. This was a song about control, obsession, the illusion of choice, but it came wrapped in a hook so sharp it bled gold."
You were working as a waitress in a cocktail bar when I met you. I picked you out, I shook you up and turned you around, turned you into someone new. Now 5 years later on, you've got the world at your feet. Success has been so easy.
After Don't You Want Me was immense. Everyone expected another mega hit. So in September 1981, they dropped Open Your Heart. It's not as cold as earlier tracks. There's yearning here, but Phil Oakey sounds almost sincere. The production's lush with layers that shimmer rather than stab. The lyrics echo their classic duality, optimism wrapped in paranoia. Open your heart to the future, he sings. But the synths feel like warning sirens. There's always tension. Joanne and Susan, by now, were stars in their own right. Girls across Britain copied their dance moves and fashion. Leather skirts, backcomb hair. They weren't backing singers. They were icons. The song reached number 6, not a chart topper, but enough to prove they weren't a one-hit gimmick. In the background, the Falklands conflict was brewing, Depeche Mode were getting darker, Thatcher's grip was tightening, and yet here was the Human League, asking for vulnerability.
And when it hurts, you know they love to die.
By spring 1983, the Human League were riding high in their imperial phase. Keep Feeling, or Fascination to Me and You, came wrapped in a bright orange sleeve, pure plastic pop built to sound massive on the radio. The song was written by Oki, Callas and Rushant, a tight trio now with their sights set firmly on the charts. The lyrics still felt a little off. If it seems a little time is needed to confirm the motivators, not your typical love song, more like a cold bureaucratic kind of romance. Still, the hook was huge. The video, shot in a derelict house painted orange, was a strange mix of Top of the Pops, glitz and Urban Decay. This wasn't just music anymore, it was design, it was fashion, it was concept. The track climbed to number 2 in the UK, number 8 in the US, their last major hit across the Atlantic, but back home they were still untouchable. You could see it on the streets, girls rocking Oki style fringes, boys in oversized jackets, Walkmans tuned into Radio 1. They had become more than a band, they were the soundtrack of aspiration itself. Before all the fame, back when they were still arty experimentalists, the Human League released this oddball track in 1979. Empire State Human, a synth-pop anthem about growing, literally. I want to be tall, Oki repeats. Tall, tall, taller than tall. It's cartoonish, but deliberate. The band later said it was a satire on ambition and masculinity. All those corporate slogans, all that ego. Originally a complete flop. It barely scraped the charts, but after Don't You Want Me blew up, the label re-released it in 1982, but this time it got more attention. You can still hear the DNA of what they've become. Cynical, clever, hooky.
My size increased, and now I'm 14 stories high.
In 1984, the Human League stepped into new, uneasy territory, trying to get political. The Lebanon was a response to the brutal civil war ripping Beirut apart. A bold move from a band known for sleek synth pop. The track kicks off with an unexpected guitar riff, raw, urgent, more rock than electronic. It caught some fans off guard. Oki sings through the eyes of a soldier, caught in the middle of a war he can't control. But critics weren't kind. They called it clumsy, heavy-handed. And Oki himself later admitted, "We tried to say something about injustice, but we just didn't know enough." Still, the song had guts. It didn't shy away from the messy realities. The chorus hits hard, almost desperate. It didn't storm the charts, it only charted modestly. But it marked a turning point. The band was no longer just about catchy hooks and dance floors. They were willing to stumble, to push boundaries, even if it meant risking their reputation. This was evolution, rough, unpolished, and real.
She dreams of 1969.
Before the soldiers came,
the life was cheap on bread and wine,
and sherry meant no shame.
She is awakened by the scream
of rockets flying from
Let's just take a breath and take a look back at the journey so far. From the early days of Being Boiled, where the Human Need carved out their pioneering electronic sound, to the pulsating energy of Sound of the Crowd. We felt the funky groove in Love Action, then hit the unforgettable moment, Don't You Want Me, the song that defined a generation. We opened our hearts to Open Your Heart, got caught up in the magnetic pull of Fascination, and soared with the bold ambition of Empire State Human. Then came the soulful reflection of Human, questioning what it really feels to mean. And finally, the Lebanon, where politics and urgency collided in a powerful statement.
You're tuned in to Music Break. Built from the bones of the backbeat. Raw, real, relentless. No compromise, no pretense. No pretense.
Next up, Mirrorman. By late 1982, Sheffield was still recovering from the collapse of the steel and coal industry. But the Human League were ascendant. Andy Warhol name-checked them, and Japan's kids bought their albums in bulk. Phil Oakey later admitted the song was a dig at Adamant, who they thought had started believing his own hype. The Human League were riding a wave of synth-pop dominance, yet their single Mirrorman stalled just short of the summit. The UK charts that week were a battlefield of styles. Tears for Fears held on to the brooding Mad World, Eurythmics shimmered with Love as a Stranger, and Culture Club tugged at the heart with Do You Really Want to Hurt Me. Right in the thick of it, Mirrorman was locked at number two, held back by the Jam's final chart-topping single, Beat Surrender. The Jam's last hurrah, rooted in British working-class grit. Mirrorman wasn't just a song, it was a marker of an era caught between fading punk rebellion and the dawn of synth.
Times.
This next tune will always remind me of a time in Liverpool. We were all 15, 16 years of age, and we decided that we were going to try and get into one of the local clubs. It was called the Harrington. The bouncers on the door all looked us up and down and asked each one of us, "How old are you? How old are you?" We all passed with flying colours, even though all of us were exactly 18. As we entered the club, the bouncer on the inside told us, "Write our names and date of birth in the signing in book." There was such a thing back then. And that was it. We were in. A real nightclub for the first time in our lives. One of my mates, Colin, he had bum fluff on his face, so he was nominated to go and get the beers in. 5 pints of Foster's it was. Then the bouncer who originally let us in put his arms around us all. "Who the f*** is Martin?" "That's me," I said like an idiot. "Get out my club," he snarled. "You've just signed in with your real date of birth, you." The tune in question, the things that dreams are made of. This wasn't a single at first, but it didn't need to be. The song opened there, and in a way it was a manifesto. But buried beneath the optimism was the austerity of 81. Margaret Thatcher's cuts, riots in Brixton and Toxteth, and a million youth on the dole. This song's escapism, its giddy consumer wish list, spoke directly to the kids dreaming of another world. Not America, just somewhere else. The title's lifted from the Maltese Falcon, but the delivery is all Sheffield. Deadpan, sly, knowing. Years later it would become a hit, remixed and charting in 2008. But by then the dreams were different. In 1981, they were just trying to build a future from tape loops and borrowed synths. Every item on that list was a small act of rebellion, because hope in that moment wasn't political, and dreaming wasn't naive, it was necessary.
Take time to see.
Thank you.
wasn't meant to be a big song. Together in Electric Dreams was recorded quickly for a sci-fi movie called Electric Dreams, a forgotten film about a sentient computer falling in love. But this track, this gleaming synthetic anthem, outlived the film by decades. Phil Oakey wasn't even keen at first. It was a Giorgio Moroder who drove it. Moroder, the man behind Donna Summer's I Feel Love, pushing the idea of romance through wires and sequences. The song only reached number 3 in late 1984, but its afterlife was enormous. It became shorthand for yearning, for distant connection, for the 80s itself, a fixture at school discos and gay clubs alike. It wasn't technically the Human League, but everyone treated it as one. It got played at weddings, funerals, pride marches, and midnight on Radio 2. In a world before Zoom calls and virtual chat rooms, together in Electric Dreams, imagine digital love as something pure and eternal. Which is amusing, because nothing in 1984 felt eternal, except maybe this. Pop was everywhere, Blur and Oasis battling it out, but the Human League were back. Tell Me When was a surprise, a top 10 hit, a comeback that didn't lean on nostalgia, but didn't ignore it either. Oakey's voice sounded older, more fragile, the production sharper, but the essence was still there, longing minimalism and mystery. It wasn't there, and it didn't try to be. The band had weathered the late 80s slump, the critical shrugs, the changing labels. Tell Me When felt like a victory. They shot the video in Paris, on a moving walkway inside the Louvre. Like they were passing through history itself. It didn't herald a massive new wave of Human League records, but it didn't have to. One song, one chart hit, was enough to remind people they were still here, still doing it their way, still cooler than most of the competition. It was the sound of persistence, of unfinished business, of Sheffield Steel, burnished but unbroken.
See you again.
To the end of this Music Brick show. So by 1986, things were brittle. Hysteria had underperformed, Virgin were getting restless, and the band felt adrift. enter Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis, the American R&B producers who reinvented Janet Jackson. Virgin flew the Human Lee to Minneapolis. The result? The song Human, a sleek, lush ballad about infidelity and forgiveness. Fans were split. Some loved the new sound, others hated the departure. The band weren't even sure themselves. But it worked. Number one in America, number eight in Britain. Oakey called it a perfect example of producers taking control, and it nearly tore the group apart. But listen closely. Those whispered backing vocals, those strings, the raw ache in the lyrics. It's not a sellout. It's a breakdown. The chorus. I'm only human. Of flesh and blood I'm made. Felt more like a plea than a hook. For a band defined by machines, this was their most human moment, ironically delivered by someone else. But it lingers. It's the sound of a band unravelling in velvet. Human League weren't just futurists, they were romantics in disguise. They gave us artificial heartbeats, plastic dreams, songs that made machines feel emotion. From Sheffield basements to global stardom, they turned Cold War dread and eyeliner into gold. Behind the synths, they smuggled doubt, desire and damage. They fractured, they stumbled, but they endured. In the early 2000s, after years apart, Phil Oakey, Joanne and Susan found their way back to the stage together. Not as a nostalgic act, but as a living, breathing band, still hungry for connection. We were fortunate enough to see them in the auditorium in Cartagena, Spain, and they were breathtaking. They're still touring, still electrifying audience around the world. Sheffield's sons and daughters reminding us that beneath the wires and neon, real human stories pulse on. This was the music built from wires, but aimed straight at the heart.
You're tuned in to Music Break. Built from the bones of the backbeat. Raw, real, relentless.
Next time on Music Brick, an absolute special one, Bob Marley. From the dust and heat of rural Jamaica to the pulsing heart of Kingston ghettos, Bob Marley's music was a soundtrack to revolution, a voice for the oppressed and a beacon for peace. We'll trace the journey of a man who turned reggae into a global language of resistance and hope. Bob Marley's lyrics carried the weight of history and the fire of prophecy. We'll uncover the stories behind the songs that shook the world, from No Woman, No Cry to Redemption Song, and explore how his legacy still ignites movements decades after his last note faded. This is not just music, it's a hymn for the human spirit. Next time on Music Brick, get ready to feel the rhythm and the undying hope of a rebel, a poet and a prophet. I give you Mr. Bob Marley. This Music Brick show isn't just about music. It's about you and the songs that have stayed with you through your life. The tunes that shaped who you are. So please go and take a look at our Facebook page. Just search at Music Brick. Every song ever recorded means something to someone, and that includes you. We'd love to hear about your favourite songs and the memories connected to them. Our Facebook page, at Music Brick, is where we share these moments and the songs that made them unforgettable. This is your invitation to come and join us, share your story and be part of a growing community. Just search at Music Brick on Facebook. It's a place for everyone, and we'd love you to be part of it. And there you have it. Another Music Brick, another album, another journey. Keep your ears open and your spirits high. Keep listening, keep exploring, and above all, keep the faith. Night-night, Mum.
Playing the best songs on the planet.
Costa Calida International Radio. The best radio station on the Med.